W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
From the Darling New Media Studios,
this is the WTH Podcast.
Alrighty, welcome in to the Friday episode of the WTH Podcast, number 748. Thank you for being part of our little fun group. Whether you're watching live on Facebook, watching on delay on YouTube, or just listening with your ears through your favorite podcasting app or download.
That's what happens.
We're glad to have you here. I don't know what I was doing there. It's a lot of hand gestures.
It's just so ridiculous. I hate looking at my, like, because it's like there's a lag. So you see yourself on there and you're like, man, like, why am I looking at the TV so much? Don't look at the TV, Jason.
Yeah, look over at something else.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up on the show today, we've got some fun stuff. A couple makes a federal case out of Taco Bell.
Nice.
We've got some good news and bad news in Florida Corner. And Mitt Romney has a secret Twitter account.
No.
Yeah, and he's had awesome. It for a while.
Yes.
Awesome.
That was the big revelation this week. So all of those things to get to. But before we do, I want to remind everybody to follow, like, love, star, hug. Darling New Media on Facebook, Instagram, yeah. Twitter, all the social platforms. We got a lot coming up. The grand opening celebration for Darling New Media is Monday from 4 to 8 p.m. right here, 730 Howe Avenue, Suite 425. We have our next Podcasting 101 workshop. That's November 9th from 11 to 2. So if you're interested in learning how to put together a podcast, take an idea from, I have an idea for a podcast to, I can do a podcast. That's what that's all about. And you can reserve a spot by emailing Nate at darlingnewmedia.com. So that's all coming up. Big stuff going on here. Any plans this weekend, gentlemen?
Nope.
Kareem?
No.
Look, I can move on from.
No. I'm getting together with family on Sunday. It's like a, I don't want to say like Thanksgiving, but kind of like a ball harvest type of thing.
Okay.
Next Sunday. That's our big thing.
This is the fifth Rock the School Bells we put on at Sac City. So that's Saturday. It's an all day event. I don't know how long I'm going to be out there this year, though.
Because you got a bad wheel.
Because I got a bad wheel. It's a event put on by the Low End Theory Collaborative, which is a local nonprofit run by a bunch of the counselors from the Los Rios School District. So there'll be a bunch of events for kids, high school to early college or junior college age.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. So I'll be out there part of the time. And then I'm supposed to be doing a comedy show in November. So probably get out Saturday or Sunday night and start working out some material for that.
Some open mics. I don't know what I'm doing this weekend. Last weekend, though, we went to Apple Hill. And it's been a while. It's been a minute since I went to Apple Hill.
I wish I had known. I'd actually get me apple pie.
I may go back. Not necessarily on the weekend. But there are... The thing about Apple Hill is there are tons of different farms, orchards, whatever, everything from you pick to just a farm stand, whatever. And one of the things that's relatively new, well, since the last time I've been there, the number of crafters and vendors that have booths set up at Apple Hill has exploded. We went to High Hill Ranch, which is number one. And our friends Brian and Brandy Woods, who did the Darling New Media t-shirts, they are there every day, and there's dozens of vendors there, but there's vendors at all of not all of them, but a lot of the different ones. It's like, think of it like a carnival, almost at each different one. You could literally go and get like an Airbnb for 2 weeks up in the Apple Hill area and do two or three different places a day and probably not get through all of them.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a lot of waiting in line at the really popular ones. I will say this. We did have, they claimed it was the best donut, and we had the best donut at Rainbow Orchards.
Oh, yeah.
They are fresh. They pop them into the oil, out of the oil, into a little paper sack, and then right to you. And they make Krispy Kreme look like a bag of caulk.
That's a number one stop every single time I go up there.
So good.
They're the best. Like,
so good.
Yeah, I would go up there on Sunday as late as I could get there, like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get 2 dozen, take them home, and then bring them to work. I'd keep them in the oven, bring them to work first thing on Monday morning, because there's nothing like them. They're fucking dope.
It was... I need to find it.
And their cider is really great also.
I got a little tiny jug of it.
Yeah. Alex. So the tradition in our household of going up to Apple Hill is, myself, my wife, Alex, we go up there, and we've been doing it for since before we got married. So 5 years, I think 4 years now, 4 years. This will be the fourth year, fifth year. But this year, out there's not going to be enough room for Alex, so he's going to have to drive separately. But we always go up there and go to three spots, because you don't really want to once you find your locations that you like, you go back to those ones, maybe experience new stuff if you want. But if you go up on a Saturday or Sunday, you're not going up on a Thursday or a Wednesday when it's probably not as bad. But going up there on a Sunday,
you got to get there early.
You got to go 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, get there, get done by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's what we did.
Stop for some barbecue in Placerville. There's this great barbecue place. It's right on the way out of Placerville. Get some barbecue and then get home. And by 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we did. We didn't get the barbecue, but everything else is exactly what we did.
You got to stop and get the barbecue. Go up again.
I do want to give a shout out to one place that we stopped, North Canyon Cider Company. It was fantastic. It's just hard cider, and it's a little spot right on a turn. And I actually brought back 2 4-packs of their hard cider after having some. Some there. So let me flip up their website here real quick so I can let you know what we got. I'm not sure exactly. You can get it. Yes, I'm over 21. Thanks. Someone under 21 can't click that. So here's what they are currently brewing, and they had little samplers of all of them. They have their original dry, which was really good. Their American sweet, which was good. Ginger pineapple, I did not have. And then they had cold brewed with hops. They added hops to cider. And it was amazing. And I bought 2 4-packs of that to bring home. Because it was so good. It was just that good. So yeah, if you're going up there and you're like, I want to do something a little bit different that, you know, isn't like this huge pack thing, we're gonna have to stand in line for a half hour to get a donut or whatever.
Yeah,
just stop there. They're right in the midst of everything else, and if you like hard cider, they are fantastic.
Those donuts are amazing.
Stop out and try them.
Yeah, and. I'm kind of a cider snob when it comes to that. I have a very big place in my heart and on my taste buds for Woodchuck Amber Cider, because it's for my money, it is the best hard cider. Mm. This stuff.
Not a Strongbow person.
Fuck all of them. Fuck all of them. But I will say North Canyon, it's not quite. Now, again, I'm biased because Woodchuck was one of the first ones. It's from Vermont. I'm from Vermont. So I know there's probably an illogical attachment to it, but the Woodchuck Amber Cider is amazing. This stuff, especially the stuff with the hops, is different and it's really good.
So you're just like a ref in the NFL.
Yeah.
Being biased.
Yeah. I am. But I'm freely admitting it. Freely admitting it. So that's my pick to click if you want to stop someplace a little bit different.
Do it. Yeah. Go for it. North Canyon Cider Company.
It was a nice little aside from everything else from standing in line. So, all right. So Mitt Romney has a secret Twitter account. There's something I didn't think I would hear. The Atlantic's McKay Coppins published a lengthy profile on Mitt Romney, and a part of his effort to set himself up as the noble Republican foil of an out-of-control president. Now, the pieces like that, there's a narrative setting about blah, 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 blah. But one of the things that came out of this was he has a secret Twitter account. He explained that, what do they call me, a lurker? He says, I'm following 668 people. Swiping at his tablet, he recited some of the accounts that he follows, including journalists, late-night comedians, and athletes. Trump was not among the people he follows. He said he tweets so much. He compared him to one of his nieces who overshares on Instagram, saying, I love her, but it's too much. I don't know that comparing the president to your niece is really complimentary to your niece.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form. And here it is. He did. I don't know how he doesn't have an egg, but at least in the graphic we're seeing here, there's only 10 tweets in the account. And if you're looking for it, he goes by the handle. Now it's at QAWS9876, but he uses the name Pierre Delecto.
I went on Twitter today and I saw that trending, and I was like, what the fuck is Pierre Delecto? And then I turned on the news and every news station was talking about Pierre Delecto.
And you're like, who the fuck is this Frenchman? What's going on? Yeah, it's I mean, not since Ron Mexico has a weird nickname caught on so fast. That of course Michael Vick's herpes name.
Pierre Delecto.
Pierre Delecto and Ron Mexico. Now that is a guy's weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That is a guy's weekend.
That is.
His very first follow was his was his son Tag. Joined shortly thereafter by Glenn Johnson, a former politics editor for Boston.com. Then Mark DeMoss, who the Salt Lake Tribune described as an unpaid advisor to Mitt Romney's campaign. And just a few of his other advisors. The account also follows people you'd expect someone like Mitt Romney to follow, like some dead people: Charles Krauthammer, John McCain, also Larry Kudlow, Rupert Murdoch, Bill Kristol, Matt Shapp, and Peggy Noonan. So that was just really weird that Mitt Romney is a weird Twitter creeper.
Yeah.
Mm. Because if you want to do a little work, you can just go and look at these Twitter feeds. You don't have to create a rando account and follow them unless you want it delivered to you.
It depends on what his direct messages are.
Can you imagine getting a DM from Pierre Delecto?
Like,
hello.
Haven't seen your porno yet, bro. Like,
what kind of porn shit is this?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Sounds like you like cunnilingus.
Oh, hey.
Right? Pierre Delecto would like cunnilingus. I think that would be like Pierre Delecto's like specialty.
And he would say it with a wink.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, it was Delecto. That doesn't even mean anything. It's my last name, and it's almost delectable.
That reminds me of a Kids in the Hall sketch where Dave Foley came out, and he just repeatedly, with some backing, said, I'm the guy with a good attitude toward menstruation.
Oh, God.
So, anyway, I don't know why that Pierre Delecto reminded me of that.
Because he's delectable.
So I was looking for small town news, and this doesn't really qualify, but it does come from the Reading Record Searchlight. It's the DC solar case where they confiscated 148 cars. They're having an auction, and the auction is taking place in Woodland, which is about 20 minutes from
Ritchie
here.
Brothers?
Yeah, I think so. So it's 150 luxury cars, including a Pontiac Trans Am once owned by Burt Reynolds, are up for auction in Woodland. It is the latest move in a court case against the couple who allegedly scammed billionaire Warren Buffett and others out of $800 million. The car's owners, Jeff and Pauline Karpoff, ran a Benicia-based DC Solar, a company that authorities allege took money from Buffett and others in a Ponzi scheme. Now, attorneys for the couple have denied that characterization. Now, the couple's 149 cars are up for auction, including the 1978 Pontiac that Reynolds bought in honor of the one he drove in Smokey and the Bandit. And that car has only 3,394 miles on it. There's also some 1990s Humvees, a classic 60s Ford Mustang, and 1960 Austin Healey. A few of the cars are from the 20s, and it's the largest single car collection that they've ever sold. That's according to the Marshals Service. That is a gorgeous 65 Mustang there. Bright red. Yeah. There's a
nice truck.
It's a 1950 Chevy pickup with 1,300 miles on it. The cars were seized back in December as part of the case against the couple, who had also sponsored NASCAR teams and owned the Martinez Clippers, a minor league baseball team. The proceeds from the auction will be held until the court case resolves and the judge determines where they should go. The whole thing, I mean, when you go to this site to see what these cars are, I was just like, oh my God, there are so many of these cars that I would absolutely love to have. Like, you go through this and it's crazy just seeing what they are. It's
is that a Falcon right there? The red one?
This one, yeah, it does look like a Ford Falcon, like a 60s yeah. Ford Falcon.
Yeah.
It's a pontoon boat.
Man.
Basically
Caddy. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's old school Camaros. Yeah. there's an El Camino, a Chevy pickup. There's another El Camino.
And three El Caminos.
Yeah. It's a lot of just amazing cars.
That's a nice panel, man. That was.
I mean, all of these vehicles. Like, I could go through this, and I'm like,
that one's ridiculous.
Like, I'm absolutely drooling over a good portion of these cars. This car collection is absolutely absurd.
Yeah. Wow,
it's absolutely absurd.
I need to send this to my stepdad. He's in a yeah. I would not doubt, like, if he would be at this next weekend.
Yeah, it's coming up tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Oh shit!
As this show drops, it's tomorrow. Well, it's Saturday.
Yeah, yeah,
the 26th.
I need to let him know. I need to let him know right now.
The media day was Wednesday. So if you're watching live on Facebook,
yeah,
the media day is Wednesday.
Ooh, at the Golden One Center.
That's the media day. Yeah.
Yeah, on Wednesday.
The actual auction's in Woodland.
Yeah, it's in Woodland. There's a $1,000 pre-bid deposit required to bid. Deposits will not be applied to the purchase price.
Oh, damn.
Right?
That's like, you got to be real on this one, brah.
So there are four Humvees, and then just everything from the tiniest car to Humvees to classic 60s muscle cars to... Let's see what this one is. If it's going to open up to what it is, but yeah, it's crazy.
You know, the Chevy, are those Chevy Cruises right there?
Those are Chevy Volts. There's four Chevy Volts.
Yeah.
Four
four-door ones.
What are you going to do with four Chevy Volts?
I don't know what these people are doing. They're doing something with them.
What are they doing with 130 cars?
Yeah.
So, Eddie, what are you going to do? Well, it's one for you, one for the wife, and one for each of your teenage kids.
Yep, probably.
So that's...
you don't want them driving around the Mustang.
That is coming up. All right.
Oh, nice.
So this happened in Texas, or at least it was caught on video, but a lot of people didn't realize tarantulas can swim.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is from Big Bend Ranch State Park in the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. And this had the internet yelling, nope. Absolutely nope. It looks like this tarantula is just...
Your wife sees this, you can never flush a spider again.
Yeah, it's...
I love it.
I had heard about this being dropped on like weird websites, you know, the websites you don't hear about.
Right.
And then I'm like, let me find this on an actual news site. And yep, CBS Austin has this. So I hadn't really thought about whether tarantulas could swim or not.
Looks like it might have died at the end, though.
Hard to say.
Kind of,
either way, too tired to hurt you at the end.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
Well, tarantulas don't hurt you anyways.
Well, if you piss them off.
They're not. Their bite's not that bad.
Oh, let them bite you then. okay. So normally this type of story comes to us from our friends in Florida. This time, though, it's from Illinois. Headline, man with own name tattooed on neck arrested for falsely IDing himself.
Oh, man.
Mattoon police arrested a 36-year-old Illinois man for giving officers a fake name despite having his real name tattooed on his neck. Matthew C. Bushman of Mansfield had a warrant out for his arrest when officers booked him on October 11th for obstructing justice. A police mugshot shows the Matty B. tattoo across his throat. He clearly is not a quick thinker. Police said they were investigating forgery when Bushman gave them the false name and date of birth in an attempt to dodge a warrant out of Peoria County. Bushman was booked into the Coles County Jail. The proper answer when asked, that's my former lover.
Yes.
And now I carry the tattoo around as a reminder of him always. You don't go, nope, you got me. I'm Matty B. Yeah. But why are you getting your own name tattooed on your neck? Why?
Yeah.
Why are you getting that?
Yeah, bro.
In case you forget who you are, in the mirror, it's just going to be backwards.
You might not be able to read it.
Oh, you know why that is? He likes to have lots of anonymous sex, and that way they'll remember. Oh, who did you hook up with last night, Sherry? Oh, I hooked up with Matty B.
Matty B.
Oh, isn't that cute, Matty B?
Not sure if it was an 8 or a B.
Matty 8.
Damn, prison tattoos.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey, a couple is making a federal case out of Taco Bell. They say they were charged $2.18 too much after ordering two fast food meals last year, and they filed a federal lawsuit. Nelson Estrella Rojas and Joanne Estrella claim that they went to a Taco Bell in May of 2018 to order food after they saw a TV commercial advertising meals that included a Chalupa Supreme, a five-layer burrito, a crunchy taco, a cinnamon twist, and a drink.
It's true.
The couple ordered two of the boxes, which were advertised for $5 each. However, according to the lawsuit, the couple was charged $12.99 for the meals, which included 81 cents in sales tax. That's from Newsweek. Thank God Newsweek is on this case. When they asked why $1.09 was added to each meal, they were told that legal fine print in the commercial stated prices could vary on location, according to the reports in the lawsuit. However, they claim that legal fine print was shown on the screen for only a few seconds of the 30-second commercial, and the font in the disclaimer was 1/16th of the size of the $5 deal advertised.
Duh.
Right? According to their attorney, that violates the New Jersey consumer fraud statute, saying you can't tell someone you're going to charge them $5 in big, bold print and then take it away in a fine print disclaimer. You can't do that. It's against the law. Now, disclaimers, according to the state statute, must be shown in a type, size, and style that's clear and conspicuous relative to other type, styles, and styles used in the advertisement. I don't know why this is a federal case since it's a state law, but either way. Schwartz added that while it's only $2 to the couple he's representing, it potentially millions of dollars for Taco Bell and his lawyer pockets.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's all it was about. You're like, I'll give you guys this little bit of money while I get the big check.
Right. Taco Bell officials issued the following statement to the Bridgewater Courier News in response. Taco Bell and its franchisees are proud to provide millions of guests with delicious and affordable fast food every day. Our advertisements are truthful and accurate, and we will defend this case vigorously. As vigorously as a tarantula swimming across a lake.
Yeah.
Federal case.
Sit your dumb ass down.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. All right, before we get...
Fuck all of them, though.
All whom?
All the companies that use that small print that you can't read at the very end of something, like, you know, fuck all of them. Like there's the people might be stupid, but like somebody has to eventually stand up to these, like this shit. That's like fucking ridiculous. Like it's Good for them.
If you
good
expect, for them. If you expect to go somewhere and get that much food for $5, you deserve whatever the fuck you get.
The problem is that
normally it's diarrhea.
But the problem is that normally it is just $5. Like, I've never paid more than $5 for one of those boxes. Like, plus the tax, so like $5.40 or 50 cents. It's a ridiculous amount of food for $5. Granted, like, yes, without a doubt. But to say that, and then have something on the very end that is so small, that is the 16th of the size. Hey. Like there's laws when it comes to advertising certain things. That, like,
and guess what you had the option of doing while you were sitting in the drive-thru and they told you what your total was?
I'm not, that's fine. But what I'm saying is that, like, they were already, like.
Guess what you had the choice to do once they gave you the receipt and you saw the receipt said.
But if somebody doesn't stand up to this shit, no, like that's then, fine. Is it, then you pull is this around. Is this causing any problems for you? Huh? Them doing this lawsuit.
It's tying up the courts.
I don't know if I don't eat at Taco Bell enough for it to really have an effect on me.
It's not about that. It's about the fact that companies do shit like that on a regular basis. Like, it's shitty. And I understand the problem of, like, having to make an individual commercial for each like location that doesn't, like, you because know, I get it, because it is franchises, all right? I've worked for franchises before. You know, I know the way that they work. I worked at a McDonald's franchise. You know
what's more shitty than that? Lawyers who find people like this to use as the face of their lawsuit so that they can go out and not have to really do a fucking thing and get money from a company like this.
Yeah, that was the key in the story. Yeah, it's only $2 to them, but it's millions when you extrapolate it out. So this lawyer is not doing it because he's a crusader for good. Yeah. He's doing it because he's a crusader for his pocket.
No, this but the two people that how, are doing no, 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 it, though.
This is how we end up with all these fucked up laws on the books, because you got lawyers who just sit around and look for cases like this that aren't cases, that they create a class action lawsuit for, or they decide, oh, we're going to go after these people because of this. This is how you end up with all of these fucking lawsuits that everybody complains about. Everybody's suing everybody. It's not everybody's suing everybody. It's a bunch of fucking lawyers who sit behind and look for people to go after shit.
And to me, it's just, if you're gonna say something, then it should be the truth and it should be honest, and you shouldn't have to say and make disclaimers about what you're saying.
A disturbing.
Sorry.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. Like, if you say something, you shouldn't have to go back and say that doesn't apply to this situation. Like, if you do that, then maybe you shouldn't be advertising what you're advertising in the first place.
Like I said, again, you sat there. They said it's $6.09.
But now you've already five. But how many times you've been in drive-thru, though? Like, you're in the drive-thru and, like, you're at the point where you're ordering. You've already waited 3 or 4 cars. Now there's 3 or 4 cars behind you. And now they tell you that it's going to be $3 more than it's supposed to be. Are you going to turn around? Like, you can't turn around. You just got to fucking eat it.
I've told them to keep it.
Me too. I
drove right by. Said and middle finger up on the way by.
But this also is in the middle of nowhere, right?
No.
It was in New Jersey.
Was it in New Jersey?
Yeah. No, I just did it Sunday at McDonald's.
Yeah, I haven't done it in ages.
I have no problem with this. It's just like, for instance, like I have this shit going on with my health insurance right now where I've been reported to a credit company now, and like they're trying to get $140 from me that was completely covered because it's a durable medical good for my asthma, like that I have to have a machine at the house.
Mm.
It's covered. UC Davis has said it's covered. Like, everybody has said it's covered. The letters have been sent. But Apria has, like, then sent it on to collections. Yeah, no, everybody's done. I mean, that's
what you said is Apria. That's all I needed to hear.
So, like, but here's the fucking problem, though, is that, like, it's similar to this situation right here where it's doing the customer or the consumer a horrible thing. And like, it's little things like that with the deceptive advertising that's like saying something so quickly that you'd have to pause it and blow it up in order to look. If you had to pause something and blow it up to look at it and see what's being said, then it shouldn't apply. Like, you shouldn't be held to that term of service. Just like I shouldn't have to pay this $140 that we don't owe to the app, and it shouldn't be affecting my credit, which is like I've worked really hard on repairing because I was a fucking idiot in my 30s. You know, like I've been working really hard and I got my shit up into 700s now, and then this shit happens and there's nothing I can do about it because nobody wants to fucking do any work, and I'm fucked with it now. Even though I can say that it doesn't apply and they can try to remove it, but like I'm having to do a bunch of work for something that does not. So all I'm saying is, like, there's a lot of these huge, big companies. I don't have any fucking sympathy for them. Like, I don't have any sympathy for them. The whole thing that happened with McDonald's and the old woman getting the coffee on her. McDonald's had over like 200 lawsuits in the years prior to that about how hot their coffee was and that it should be cooler. Like, they'd been told that they could not serve coffee that hot and that there was no reason to serve it that hot.
Wait. That lady didn't sue McDonald's for the $2.8 million that she got. She only sued them. She only wanted them to fix
it. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, like, it's always misrepresented. What I'm saying, though, is like, these things, there's no, these companies get away with a lot of shit. I don't have any, like, they have insurance. I'm not worried about, they're not going to be fucking hurt. They're not going to be hurt. But they do things to get around the fucking, it's, anyhow. That's just I apologize. I know that I went on a rant. But it's fucking ridiculous. And like, I have no sympathy for these fucking large corporations. None.
All right. Well, do you have sympathy for this gentleman?
A disturbing arrest was made overnight at a College Station apartment complex. This man was arrested for allegedly going into an unlocked apartment on Marion Pugh and watching a couple have sex. He told police, "Where we're from, we don't get that." The 19-year-old is from Chapel, Florida. He was booked into the Brazos County Jail and charged with trespassing.
Okay, do you feel bad for him?
Actually, he's lucky because there was another story of a guy that got caught looking in the window and he got beat to death.
Man.
All this guy got was arrested.
Yeah.
So,
count yourself lucky there, Junior.
You hear it? He's from Florida.
We don't do that there. Look, the other case was in Florida too.
Florida, land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline, Florida man calls 911 because his roommate stole $20 worth of his weed. Jason. A Florida man who called 911 to report his roommate allegedly stole his weed was asked to stop calling the Pasco County Sheriff's Office. Video was posted onto the Sheriff's Office Twitter page on Saturday night of a deputy responding to a call about stolen weed. He said the person called 911 because his roommate stole his weed, specifically $20 worth. Here's the deputy.
All right, so I just received a call. The guy's calling in saying his roommate stole his weed, $20 worth, and he's upset. So he keeps calling 911. So I got to give him a call to tell him to stop calling.
He's like the idiot of the day.
So meanwhile, that's the bad news out of Florida. Here's the good news out of Florida that makes you smile.
$944.34. That was the total outstanding lunch debt in all 9 Jupiter area schools. But one local man says that was a modest price to pay to make a big difference in the life of a child.
I went in there and I said, I want to pay off the lunch debt.
When Andrew Levy learned that over 400 kids in his community couldn't get a full meal in their school cafeterias, he felt he had to take action.
These children that were in debt were going to either not eat or, you know, they would get just cheese sandwiches. And I thought, that's crazy.
He had no agenda, no children in the district, and no personal connection to the schools. But he knew he could make a difference, so he just made it happen.
Food is something that you shouldn't have to think about. You know, children shouldn't have to learn hungry.
After he paid those bills and brought the families back to zero, Levy posted about it on Facebook. And soon hundreds of people commented asking if they could contribute next time too. And before he knew it, Levy's act of kindness had started a chain reaction across Palm Beach County.
I even have had some clients over the last 48 hours say, you know something, I want to help, I want to give to. Every quarter, I'm going to do either a GoFundMe page or a fundraising page that can raise money every quarter, so lunch debt never accumulates.
How about that?
Good shit out of Florida.
Right? Some good news and some bad news out of Florida. That's Florida.
Oh, Jupiter, man. That's where all the freaks and geeks used to live back in the day.
Drops of Jupiter.
Yeah.
It's a train song. Okay. All right, let's wrap this puppy up, shall we?
Hmm.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
This Marilyn Haggerty of Grand Forks Herald writes about books. Said Ingram's delightful story describes life in northern Minnesota. It's not easy, writes Christopher Ingram, to explain what 40 below feels like. Hold on, I can do it. The inside of your nose freezes so hard that you can literally feel the ice forming on your nose hairs.
That fucking sounds awesome. Nut.
How about that?
Nut.
In northern Minnesota, snow and ice that fall don't go anywhere. They just keep piling up. October's snow sticks around till April. That's what Christopher Ingram writes. It's hard to describe what 40 below is like to someone who's never felt it. Bullshit, I just did.
I'll pass.
Yeah. He writes about moving to nearby Red Lake Falls, Minnesota in his book, If You Lived Here, You'd Be Home By Now, which is recently published by HarperCollins. Ingram tells the story of his family's move from life and commuting in New York to living in nearby Red Lake Falls. Now, unlike other books that I glance at and put down, this one in hardcover kept me reading through 289 pages. Good job, Marilyn. 4 years ago, Ingram, as a Washington Post data writer, picked up a report based on a U.S. Department of Agriculture study. It was a study that ranked counties from ugliest to most scenic, and Red Lake County was one of them.
One of what?
Exactly. Every county was one of them.
Yeah, which one?
She's 93, Jason. Among responses to the report was one from a Red Lake Falls businessman who invited Ingram to visit, and the thoughtful, delightful story of Ingram and his family moving to nearby Red Lake Falls unfolds from there. Among the changes was the lifestyle for Brianna Ingram, who left a career that had been full of meetings and conference calls. Christopher Ingram gave up commuting for a home office, and life moved on for them and their 2-year-old twin sons, Jack and Charles.
Well, now it all makes fucking sense.
Brianna became acquainted and active in the community. She was elected this year to Red Lake Falls City Council. Woo. Christopher Ingram learned the ways of deer hunting and the art of ice fishing. The couple became familiar with services available in Thief River Falls. And when there were complications with the birth of another son, they found themselves on their way to Grand Forks. In his commentary, Ingram says it's hard to describe what 40 below is like to someone who's never felt it. In all honesty, he writes, you don't truly understand a northern Minnesota winter until you've been through several of them.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay, Marilyn, other than mentioning that there was a book and that you read all 289 pages, you've given me nothing about this book and whether I might be interested in it, other than multiple times mentioning that he cannot describe what 40 below is like.
It sounds like a horrible writer.
When in fact, I just described what 40 below is like in 12 seconds on a podcast. It's so cold, your face feels like it's burning off and cold at the same time.
That's just hyperbole, though. It's not the not. It's not. Listen, this guy's a data driven tech writer. All right. He's just a data writer. All right. I mean, whatever the fuck that means, just a bunch of O's and ones. Right. Like, oh, 1 1 0 1 1 1 1 0 1 1 1 0 1 1.
Apparently has the right stuff. I don't know if this, it said books. Again, she just mentioned that there was a book.
Yeah.
And then she read it.
And then there was a bunch of counties that were listed.
Well, that's what led him to move. But there. She's 93. I think we have to.
Yeah.
Was it one of the prettiest counties or is it one of the ugliest? Because, like, that helps. I feel that because somebody offered to fly him out there and see it, that it must have been termed as one of the ugliest.
You know, maybe we'll look it up between shows.
Yeah, let's do
that. We're going to wrap this thing up, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you're watching live on Facebook, we do appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube after the fact, well, good for you, too. And if you're just listening with your ears and not your eyes, well, we still love you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. And have yourself a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. And we have grievances on the next WTH podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.